Jesus on the way to Emmaus, their hearts were breaking. Their heads were bowed with sorrow. Jesus even says, "Why are you so sad?" And yet, Jesus came alongside and walked alongside with them. And Jesus offers to walk alongside with us and to raise us up and to let us know just how much we are loved by God. Today we start the final sermon series that I'm going to preach as your pastor. And this is a sermon series that's going to be talking about the time between. The time between when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter to Jesus ascending into heaven about 40 days later before the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples on Pentecost. There are many stories in the Bible about this time in between, and one of the themes that unites them all is Jesus was preparing the disciples to not just look to him, but to then be able to share the good news out into the world. And because they shared the good news, all of us heard the good news. And because we share the good news, others will hear the good news as well. So I want us to think today about the way these two disciples recognized Jesus as they walked along and talked about the scriptures, and as they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, please guide our thoughts and our words today. You are the potter. We are your clay. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. So we've got these two disciples, Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. I don't know if the other man was part of Cleopas' family. I don't know if he was a good friend of Cleopas. I don't know. But the two of them were companions on the walk to Emmaus that day. Now, we don't know why they were going to Emmaus either. It could have been this was their home village. It's entirely possible. It could have been something else was taking them to Emmaus. Perhaps they had family there or they had business there. Or as one of the commentators on this scripture wrote as I read this week, it could have just been that they wanted to get out of Jerusalem. They wanted to get away from Jerusalem. 3 days before, their teacher had been nailed to a tree. Everything that they thought Jesus was doing seems to have been shattered in Jesus' death, and they might have just wanted to get away. They didn't want to be where it had happened anymore. It was Easter day, probably late morning, maybe early afternoon. Now that morning, a group of women had gone to Jesus' tomb. As soon as the sun was rising, they had gone to Jesus' tomb. There was Mary Magdalene, there was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, there were some other people who were mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, if we were to read the entire 24th chapter of Luke. And when they got to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. And they found Jesus' body gone. And they had an experience with angels who told them, "Christ is risen." And so they ran back and they went to tell the other disciples, the male disciples who had followed Jesus. And as Luke puts it a little earlier in chapter 24, it seemed to the male disciples an idle tale. And they didn't believe them. I'm sorry, but these guys could be so dense. I mean, really. But Cleopas and his companion, they knew about that story. They knew that this had happened, but they went and they left and they went on the way to Emmaus because I doubt they believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, as they walked along, somebody came up behind them and joined them. In this artist's depiction, that's the person in the middle with his head covered. That's Jesus. And we are told that though Jesus approached them, as it says in verse 16, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So I want to ask you, how often in your life do you think Jesus might have been walking right alongside you? The love of God might have been right there, but we didn't recognize it. We didn't see it. We didn't experience it. Oh, can we go back to the previous one, Holly? We'll get to that picture in a minute. I want you to think about those times that Jesus was with you, but you may not have recognized it. Let me give you a few examples from my own life. So a lot of my faith development happened when I was in college. It was the first time I actually picked the church I went to. I didn't just go to the church where the bishop had said, this is where your dad's going to be the pastor for a while. I went to Wesley Church in Urbana, where the Wesley Foundation, the Methodist campus ministry for the University of Illinois, was. And we had this big, long room in the Wesley Foundation. It was called the Watseka Lounge, because about 100 years ago, the Watseka Methodist Church had given the money to build it. And each Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the evening, we would gather there for student worship. And student worship would always be led by the students, and then our pastor would lead us in communion. So the pastor my freshman year was someone I actually knew fairly well. Her name was Jean. Unfortunately, Jean was sick. I'd known Jean since I was a child. My parents had known her even before I had been born. But Jean, by the time she was my pastor, was dying of cancer. But even so, every Wednesday night she was there for worship. And every Wednesday night I remember her sitting there breaking the bread and starting communion and leading us in communion. Now, I'd never taken communion every week any time before in my faith. And I didn't realize it at first, but as the weeks went by, and particularly as I pondered what God had shown me of Christ's love after Jean had gone and has gone to be with Jesus, in the breaking of the bread there each Wednesday night, I started to experience Jesus in a way that I'd never experienced before. Because sometimes in things that we might not expect, in the breaking of the bread, we recognize who Jesus is. Now, there was another time in one of those worship services, I think it was about a year and a half after Jean had passed away, where a friend of mine was leading us in our worship service that night, one of my fellow students. She's a pastor now. Actually, she's a district superintendent now. I know at least one of you knows who she is. But back then, she was like me. She was a student. But she loved Jesus, and she loved her Bible. And she was so excited that day to talk about grace, to talk about the fact that God loves all of us more than we can imagine, and that we don't have to earn that love, that God just gives it to us. And she was excited that night to talk about God's grace. And I realize now that that conversation, that talking about the Scriptures, as we sat on a bunch of couches and then got ready to take communion, that something happened in my life that night, and that I got a deeper understanding of what God's grace really meant. I didn't recognize it for months. I don't think I recognized it, honestly, for years afterwards. But sometimes in discussing the Scriptures together, we recognize Jesus, or we see Jesus in a way we've never seen Jesus before. And it doesn't just have to happen inside a church building or a campus ministry building. I now realize that I came to recognize more about God's love and about Jesus in the classroom over and over again. When I was an undergraduate taking my classes on religion at the University of Illinois, and then when I was in seminary taking my classes as part of my seminary training, and it's funny, there were some people that told me, oh, you got to be careful, you're not going to see Jesus in those classes. They're just going to tell you they're going to tell you things that'll distance you from Jesus. But at least for me, as we sat down and as I learned more about the historical events that shaped the Bible that are referred to in the Scriptures, as I talked with people, as we talked about what the Scriptures were saying about God, about humanity, about Jesus, I saw Jesus in new ways. I came to recognize Jesus in new ways, and I came to see how the Scriptures spoke into my life, even though some of those parts of the Scriptures that I always thought, well, I don't really need to read that. That doesn't have anything to do with me, right? And then finally, I saw Jesus in the acts of hospitality of a fellow I met a few years after I was out of undergraduate. I was working at a college in Kansas at that time, and I'd go to the dining hall for breakfast and lunch and dinner. And there in the dining hall, one breakfast a week, there'd be an old fellow named Ernie. He was a pastor of a little tiny church in the town where I was, and he was also a handyman on the side. And Ernie would just sit down and we'd break bread together. Or in this case, actually, we'd eat biscuits and scrambled eggs together, but you get the point. And Ernie was one of the most encouraging people I'd ever met. He was one of the most loving people I ever met. The love of Jesus just radiated out from him. And he showed such love and encouragement and welcome to me and to the students who would sit down at that table with us. And in breaking bread with Ernie, I came to see the love of Jesus and how God works through people, and Jesus shows love to people, sometimes people we might not expect. Sometimes people who've had a hard life and don't have all their teeth left. Jesus comes to us sometimes in unexpected places. Cleopas and his friend did not expect to see Jesus as they walked on the road that day. Now, they thought that they had recognized who Jesus was. They'd seen Jesus do healings. They and many of the disciples had seen Jesus do healings. I wonder if some of the male disciples were also healed by Jesus, and certainly some of their family members had been healed by Jesus. And they also saw in Jesus power and authority. When Jesus spoke about the scriptures, when Jesus spoke about God, he spoke with power and authority, and it made people think, and it changed how they understood God's love. So these people thought that they knew who Jesus was. They thought they recognized everything about Jesus, but I think they'd fallen into a trap that it's easy for humans to fall into. You see, they seemed to think that because Jesus was God's chosen one, that nothing bad was going to happen to Jesus. And then when Jesus was arrested and tortured and killed, it sure sounds to me when I read the scriptures as though their faith, if imagine their faith like a plate that's just been thrown on a stone floor and shatters into a million pieces. Now, had they understood the scriptures, they would know that you can be doing exactly what God calls you to do, and it doesn't necessarily mean everyone's going to like it all the time. That's the story of Moses. It's the story of the prophets. It's the story of the early Christians that came after these events. We have to sometimes remember that the way we expect things to go isn't actually how God is working. And so Jesus approached Cleopas and his companion, and they couldn't see Jesus. And Jesus asked them, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Don't you know what happened? Didn't you hear about this wonderful prophet who was killed?" And then, frankly, Jesus kind of calls them out a little bit. And he says, "Haven't you paid attention to the scriptures? Don't you know what the Bible actually says, not what you think it says?" And Jesus talked to them about how God's chosen one was going to preach, but that God's chosen one might suffer, but that that would not be the end of the story, that the brokenness of humanity and what humanity might do would not be the end of the message of the Messiah. And as they listened to what Jesus said as they walked along, their hearts started to burn within them. Can we see the next slide, please? But even though their hearts burned within them, they still did not recognize that it was Jesus that they were talking to. But finally, they reached that village of Emmaus, that little town, and Jesus meant as though he was going to go on and continue to travel further that day, or that evening by this time. But they said, no, please stop. Please stay with us. They said, don't travel the roads. Traveling the roads at night was dangerous for any number of reasons. So they invited Jesus in to where they planned to stay the night. Now I want to pause right there. They were able to literally, physically invite the risen Jesus into where they were staying. But I think metaphorically we all have the same opportunity in our lives. Jesus isn't going to knock down the door and force his way in. That's not a relationship. That's not a loving relationship. A loving relationship involves mutuality and both people wanting to be in the relationship. And so, just as they had to invite the risen Christ in body into their homes, are we going to invite the risen Christ into our lives, into our homes, into the way we live each and every day? Are we going to let Jesus' word shape us and guide us? Jesus invites us into a relationship. Will we reciprocate the invitation and invite Jesus into our hearts? So they sat down. And though Jesus was the guest, he was given the bread. And he blessed the bread and he broke the bread. I want to pause right here. That expression, breaking the bread, is used many times in the New Testament. It's used to refer to two specific times in Jesus' ministry. One was probably a couple years before when Jesus had broken some bread and taken some fish, And what seemed like nowhere near enough was able to feed 5,000 men, not including the women and children that day. That's one time that Jesus broke the bread. The other time the Bible says Jesus makes a note of Jesus breaking the bread was at that final meal that Jesus had before he was arrested. The meal, the Last Supper, where we were taught of the sacrament of communion. So when Cleopas and the other disciple, and maybe there was someone else there, this artist certainly thought so, when Jesus broke the bread, they suddenly realized who Jesus really was. And they realized that they had been with Jesus the whole time. In those times when a group of people gather together and look at the scriptures, I know for me, often when people gather and look at the scriptures, there have been a few times I've read the Bible and just thought, wow. But there have been so many more times when I sat and I talked and I listened to others and the scriptures came alive and it felt like Jesus was stepping up out of the pages and really into my life. And then there's those times of hospitality, those times of generosity, those times when just as Jesus showed generosity when he fed 5,000, just as Jesus was so generous that he laid down his life for all humanity, for all people, just as God was so generous that God sent God's child, Jesus, into danger for us. How many times in moments of generosity have we experienced the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord? So I hope, I didn't do a good job of making sure of it, but I hope all of you got a little note card before service. I want to encourage you to do something as we get ready for this time of offering. You'll have a little bit of time to think about it as we listen to the music of offering. I want you to write down a time that Jesus showed up in your life. Maybe a time you expected to find Jesus, maybe in a very unexpected way, just as those two disciples on the way to Emmaus did not expect Jesus to show up. But I encourage you to write that down. And I encourage you to ponder that and to think about it. Because when we remember how Jesus has shown up in our lives, when we remember how Jesus has changed our life story, we can share that stories with others, and it might help Jesus show up in their lives as well, or they might recognize Jesus in a new way. And for all of us, may we invite Jesus in, and through all the many ways, but particularly today, through the times that we spend in the scriptures together and the times we spend in hospitality and in the breaking of the bread, may we recognize Jesus. And may we feel the love of Jesus. And may we share that love with a world that needs so much love. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you now to, as I said, write down on your cards, but also to give of your tithes and offerings to the ministry.